Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.
Welcome to Freedom Through Faith. Prepare to be blessed as pastor and teacher Robert Thibodeau leads us into the anointed study of the Word of God, teaching and empowering you how to impact your world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching you how to receive the blessings and provisions of God, and how to walk through this life with Freedom Through Faith. And now, here's Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Bob Thibodeau here. Welcome to Freedom Through Faith. Glory to God. We are so blessed you're joining us today. We are going to be starting a new series today on the book of Proverbs and how it relates to the red letter words of Jesus. Amen. And it's going to be an exciting time. Let's go to the Lord with a word of prayer. We'll jump right into this Bible study. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your blessings in our life. We thank you for the technology you've made available so that, Lord, we can preach your gospel to the world, fulfilling the great commandment. We thank you, Lord, for leading and guiding this Bible study this day. And our prayer is that someone somewhere this day would receive Jesus as their Savior. And we give you all honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs. Hallelujah. And well, first, before I forget, let's lay down that solid foundation of faith. Amen. Join me in confessing the Lord's Prayer, asking His blessing upon today's broadcast. Amen. Just repeat this out loud, loud enough for your own two ears to hear. Praise God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done in this earth, just as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs. Praise the Lord. We're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 1. Now, this is going to be an amazing study. I mean, we are going to be, for the next several weeks, looking at it. I've been studying the book of Proverbs lately. And the correlation to the red letter words is just amazing. Amen. So when we open the book of Proverbs, we step into the school of wisdom. Okay. It's not a casual read. It's divine instructions for living with clarity and character and conviction. And Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2 makes its purpose clear. Let's go over there. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding. I mean, this is no ordinary wisdom. It is God's wisdom, meant to shape how we think, how we speak, how we live. And as New Testament believers, we have to ask ourselves, how does this wisdom connect to Jesus? Amen? Well, the answer is directly, completely, eternally. I mean, Jesus didn't just teach wisdom. He is wisdom, right? He just didn't speak the truth. He is the truth. He didn't just carry the word. He is the word made flesh, dwelling among us. John 1:14, amen. So when we read Proverbs, we're not just reading clever life advice or, you know, the poetic one-liners. No, we are hearing the ancient echoes of the one who had come and embody every word of it. Amen. The wisdom of Proverbs is the heartbeat of Jesus before the word put on flesh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gave us this insight that would later be fulfilled in the red letters. It's as if God whispered through Proverbs, my son will show you what all this means and what it looks like. Amen. Praise God. So when Proverbs, how can I say this? When Jesus came, he didn't invalidate Proverbs. I put it like that. He fulfilled the Proverbs. Yeah, thank you, Lord. He fulfilled Proverbs. Amen. Now, we've been told that the King Solomon was the greatest, the wisest man that ever lived, and things like that. I know you heard it because I've heard it too, right? All because he wrote the book of Proverbs. But who was he writing about? That's what we got to look at. Well, turn and look at Matthew chapter 7. Hurry up. Flip over there. Matthew chapter 7. I hope you know where that's at. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 24. Turn over there. I want you to see this. I want you to put your eyes on this, all right? Are you there yet? Praise God. All right, let's read this. Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings, these words of mine, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. A what? A wise man. Now, does that sound familiar? It should, because that's Proverbs in action, folks. Jesus is urging us to live according to what Solomon already pointed towards. Praise God. Okay, turn a couple more pages. Matthew chapter 12. Go over there real quick. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to look at verse 42. All right? Here we see the Queen of Sheba. Where are you at? 42. The Queen of the South, that's Queen Sheba, all right, shall rise up in judgment with this generation or against this generation and shall condemn it. Condemn this generation because she came from the farthest reaches of the earth just to hear the wisdom of Solomon. What does Jesus say? And behold, a greater one than Solomon is here. Oh, that's Jesus talking, folks. Amen. Praise God. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching good. Hallelujah. Today, we live in a church age that's drowning in division and denominational lines and theological camps and cultural preferences and generational gaps and liberal viewpoints versus conservative viewpoints. Even inside the churches, everybody wants to be right. But Jesus didn't say, you'll know, they will know your mind by your flawless doctrine. He did not say that, did he? What did he say? They will know your mind because of your love. And that illustrates, oh, that's so good. That illustrates the problem we have today. We have made tradition our teacher. And for that matter, opinion and authority. Tradition. Don't get me started on tradition, Lord. Instead of coming together at the feet of Jesus, we built separate sanctuaries that, if you want to be honest, you want to be honest about, they're not built around what Jesus said. They're built around our favorite interpretations. In many cases, not even what Jesus said, but what others said about Jesus. Now, how far you want to interpret that depends on how liberal your viewpoint is. All right? All right, here's an example. Exodus chapter 10, verse 17. You have to turn over there. I'll just go ahead and read it here. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. But there are some that interpret what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, as love your neighbor as yourself, as if Jesus is giving permission to do that with your neighbor's wife, as if she was yours. And there are some churches out there that take scriptures like that and twist them so their parishioners don't feel bad about breaking the commandments and not come to church. I mean, after all, we want them to come to church because that's where they get their offerings. Oh, did I say that out loud? I mean, some go so far as to refute Leviticus 15:22, which clearly states, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. In fact, Leviticus 20:13 says they should be put to death. But they are so... I said churches, but let's just say they call themselves churches, that twist Greek meanings to modernize the illicit behavior as being acceptable. Anyway, yes, sir, that's not the sermon today. Amen. Let's jump back over into Proverbs. Amen. The point I was making is we, as society, have built our own little sanctuaries around our own favorite interpretations of what others say the Bible means. And, as I just demonstrated, people can make the Bible basically say what they want. But there is only one cure for that. And that's to get back to the red letter words of Jesus. Remember, He is the Word. Amen? But what if we stop arguing over who's right and started returning to what Jesus actually said? And that's what the Red Letter Crusade is really all about, okay? Not another denomination, not another doctrine. It's a simple, powerful return to the red letter words of Jesus, the one whose wisdom that was made flesh. It's a movement. It really is. It says, let's stop dividing over Paul and over Peter and over Calvin and Arminius, over charismatic versus conservative. Let's just unite around the words of the one who died for all of us, praise God, because it's His words that matter. Amen? They are the cornerstone of our faith. The same heartbeat fuels the What Did Jesus Say book project. It's not a commentary. It's not a theological debate. It's just the words of Jesus organized and presented in red and sent to a world that's desperate for clarity and peace. This book, What Did Jesus Say? Seven Messages from the Master by Reverend Terry A. Christian. Folks, I can't emphasize how important it is for you to get a copy of this book. Matter of fact, to help with that, at the end, I'll have a link where you can get your free e-special in your hands right now, today. And I'll tell you how to get this e-special at the end. Amen. And I'll put it down in the show notes as well if you're watching it on video. Glory to God. If you want to know what the Father thinks, listen to Jesus. Listen to the Son. If you want to know how to live with wisdom, well, let's start with the words of Jesus. If you want to walk in power and peace and obey what He actually said, there's the formula for success right there, the book of Proverbs and the red letter words of Jesus. Proverbs is called the book of wisdom. Jesus is the source of that wisdom. Amen. When Jesus fulfills the words, He calls us to walk them out in His Spirit. Every teaching in Proverbs finds its roots and its fulfillment in Christ. Now, as we walk through Proverbs chapter 1 today, We're going to take it one section at a time. Each part will reveal a layer of wisdom that Jesus lived, taught, or fulfilled. And as you see this connection being made between Proverbs and the red letters, I pray something lights up in your heart, okay? Because this is more than a Bible study. It is a recentering. It's a return, a call to leave confusion behind and follow the only voice that still speaks today with power, love, and eternal truth. So let's lean in, listen close, prepare to walk this path of wisdom, not just Solomon's wisdom, but the wisdom of Jesus himself. Because if Jesus said it, that settles it. Because his words matter. Amen. Praise God. So let's start. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. This is the purpose of wisdom revealed in Christ. Now, the opening line of Proverbs are more than an introduction. If you want to look at it like this, it's actually a mission statement. Solomon tells us why this book exists. He says, to impart wisdom, instruction, and spiritual discernment. This is a divine orientation for living with insight in a world clouded by confusion. This sounds like something we need today, doesn't it? Amen. Which is why the Holy Spirit, he put this on my heart. To just do a deep dive study into this, into the book of Proverbs. Amen. So verse 3 tells us to receive this instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. It's not about fairness. It's about seeing things the way God sees them. When Jesus walked this earth, he embodied all three. Justice in how he treated people. Judgment in what he taught. Equity in whom he called. Verse 4. that word subtly and all that, let me just translate that into modern English for you, all right? Verse 4 basically says wisdom. Wisdom, according to Proverbs, is not reserved for scholars. It's offered for the it's offered for the simpletons, the simple ones. That's Pastor Bob. Amen. That should grab your heart. Because Jesus did the same thing. He didn't hide truth in elite circles. He said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, I thank you, Father, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you have revealed them now to babies. Amen. The goal here is not to puff up our minds, but to anchor our hearts. Verse 5, a wise man will hear. It invites us to the increase in learning, remind us that growth in godliness never stops, ever. Jesus mirrored this when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Folks, that is a call to humility, a call to hunger, basically establishing a holy dependence on God. Amen. Solomon then writes, he writes, what the wise will attain, wise counsel. Think of the counsel Jesus gave, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God. Amen. What else? Take no thought for your life. Luke 6:37, forgive and you'll be forgiven. These were not mere suggestions, folks. They were divine counsel from wisdom himself. So, how do we discern the meaning of a proverb or a dark saying? Well, read verse 6. To understand a proverb, the interpretation of the words of the wise, their dark sayings, it says the interpretation. It happens when we understand the interpretation. Who gives the interpretation? Jesus brought that interpretation to life. Over and over, he'd say, you have heard it said, but I say to you, not to contradict Solomon, but to clarify what Solomon said. And to correct the misinterpretations that were going on. Praise God. Boy, do we need this today. Amen. Glory to God. There's a lot of misinterpretations going on. For example, Proverbs is filled with warnings about the heart. Jesus taught out of the what? Abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. He also said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, echoing the very essence of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 6 teaches wisdom must be learned. Jesus taught that wisdom must also be received. He didn't say, understand me. He said, follow me. That's really the only kind of wisdom that transforms. So this first section of Proverbs lays the foundation, and Jesus is that foundation. Amen. Matthew 7, 24, Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. That's a direct echo of Proverbs chapter 1. Jesus builds his church not on clever sayings, but on those who walk in wisdom by obeying his words. And you'll notice here, you'll notice this wisdom is both practical and spiritual. It helps us live the way we're supposed to live before men and humbly as well before God. That balance is what Jesus displayed perfectly his whole life. Am I right? When he turned water into wine, he showed discernment. When he overturned tables in the temple, he showed judgment. When he told a woman who was caught in adultery, go and sin no more, he showed justice and mercy in one sentence. Glory to God. And that's what Proverbs is all about. It points us towards wisdom that sees the world through the eyes of heaven. Not reactive, not prideful, not manipulative. True wisdom listens and observes and then speaks truth in love. Okay, verse 2. Amen, praise God. Verse 2 says, this book is for understanding the words of the wise. Again, I have to go back to what Jesus said. That's what this is all about, right? John 10, verse 27. Jesus said, my sheep, what? Hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. The red letter teachings of Christ they're the gold standard of wisdom. And only those who tune their hearts to his voice will completely understand. And there's also a prophetic thread running here as well. Proverbs offers a glimpse of the Messiah's voice before he ever stepped into Bethlehem. These verses prepare the heart to recognize Jesus when he finally speaks. I mean, think about that. Solomon wanted the reader to understand and grow. Jesus wants the same thing. That's why he said things like, he that has ears to hear, what? Let him hear. It wasn't just about sound. It was about wisdom and understanding. Heart-level obedience. Oh, man. Don't miss this, folks. Proverbs 1:1 begins by naming Solomon the son of David, king of Israel. Now, that's not a throwaway line. It foreshadows another son of David, Jesus, the true king of Israel, and all of us. Amen. So what I want you to see is this. The entire book of Proverbs is like a scroll in the hand of the king, opened by the one who alone is worthy. Revelation 5 reminds us of that reality. When that scroll is open, what do we hear? Wisdom, life, instructions. Amen. So let's not read this section. We just got to read it slow and intentional. That's the best way of doing it, because Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 6 is an invitation to kingdom clarity. Okay? This is a call to open our ears to the one who speaks, not just as a teacher, but as the actual word of God. And remember, Jesus himself said, heaven and earth will pass away, but what? My words shall never pass away. Matthew 24, 35. Solomon's words pointed forward. Jesus' words stand forever. Amen? Praise God. So let's move on now. For sake of time, let's go to verses 7 through 9. The fear of the Lord and the Father's voice. Because verse 7 here gives us a foundation statement for all biblical wisdom. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of understanding, the beginning of knowledge. This isn't about fear and terror. It's about reverence. It's about standing in awe of God's greatness and then aligning your life accordingly. To fear the Lord, to respect the Lord, is to put Him first, to prioritize His voice above every other. That's exactly what Jesus preached when He said, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? The verse also warns, fools despise wisdom and instruction. That word despise is a strong word. It means to treat with contempt or to ignore deliberately. And Jesus spoke directly to this when He said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do the things I say? Think about it. I mean, to reject wisdom is to reject Jesus. To reject Jesus is to walk in darkness. No matter how spiritual you may appear to others, I'd say Catholic Church here, but I won't because that'd be too easy. But that's why Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 23, if the light that's in you is darkness, man, how great is that darkness? But Proverbs here then shifts into a fatherly appeal. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, forsake not the law of your mother. There's tenderness there, parental love calling a child to follow the right path, right? And Jesus echoed this and how He related to His Father. John chapter 8, verse 28, He says, I do nothing of my own or of myself, but as my Father taught me, that's why I speak these things. Even Jesus the Son submitted to the Father's instruction, showing us the humility wisdom requires. Jesus also honored His earthly mother, even from the cross. Woman, behold your son, John 19:26. In doing so, He fulfilled the law completely, honoring the parental law Proverbs speaks about. Folks, the heart of God is not some distant, far-off thing. It's parental. This father in Proverbs isn't shouting in anger. He's pleading in love. He knows wisdom isn't just learned. It's inherited when you stay close to the Father. Amen? And Jesus invited us into this same kind of intimacy when He said, abide in me, John 15:4. Wisdom grows where relationship is rooted in love. It's not about memorizing all these rules and conditions. It's about staying close to the voice of the one who loves you the most. Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep going. Verse 9. These instructions will be like an ornament of grace around your head, chains about your neck. That's poetic imagery, sure, but it's deeply practical. Think about it. It means wisdom makes you noticeable. It clothes you with dignity and spiritual glory. Other people will notice you. That's what it means. Jesus promised the same thing. Take my yoke, what? Upon you. You'll find rest for your souls, Matthew 11:29. His words are not burdens. They're adornments. They bring grace to the weary, clarity to the confused. These verses are a call for us to honor what we've been taught, not just by earthly parents, but by our Heavenly Father through the Word, who's Jesus. Jesus is the living, breathing Word of God. Everything He said came directly from the heart of God, John 12:49 and 50. True wisdom begins with reverence, grows through obedience, and matures in the relationship. That's basically the rhythm Proverbs lays down, and Jesus embodied it from beginning to end. He lived in perfect fear and respect of the Lord and perfect submission to God the Father at all times. Amen. Praise God. Now, the fear of the Lord is not outdated or Old Testament stuff, right? Jesus reaffirmed when He said, fear Him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10:28. That's not a scare tactic. That's not scare tactic preaching. That's reverence, real reverence. Amen. When we treat Jesus' words, I'll just say casually, that we're starting to drift towards foolishness. When we honor His words with obedience, we grow in His wisdom. And Proverbs reminds us that we are always learning, always choosing, either towards reverence or towards rebellion. One or the other. It can't be at the same time. One or the other. Amen. I mean, think of the people who follow Jesus. The disciples called him Lord, and they walked closely with him. Others, like the Pharisees, despised his instruction, just like what Proverbs says fools will do. We see the same thing all around us today too, don't we? In John chapter 8, verse 47, Jesus said, "He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore do not hear them because you're not of God. Wisdom listens, foolishness mocks." The crown and chain mentioned in verse 9 are not about appearances. It's about identity. When you walk in wisdom, you carry something on your life that others can see. Amen? I mean, the peace, the discernment, the stability, it all flows from submission to Christ. I mean, there have been times I would be in a store, and this has happened even in convenience stores, right? I get the stuff, I go up to the counter, and the cashier would say something to me like, excuse me, are you a Christian? Or you're a Christian, right? And I've even had them ask me, are you in the ministry? And I say, yeah, why? And the response would usually be something like, there's this light that just comes from you. And I only see that in people who are Christians. Hey, man, it's recognizable, folks. Glory to God. That's what I want you to get. I want you to notice Jesus wore no literal crown, at least until his crucifixion, when they put that crown of thorns on him. But his life was crowned with grace, power, and truth. And he invites us to wear his what? Yoke, his teachings, his spirit. And that's what Proverbs is pointing us to. Let this section of Proverbs remind you, true wisdom doesn't begin in the classroom. It begins in worship. It begins with humility. And Jesus made it very clear, whosoever shall humble himself, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:4. Amen. Praise God. We're not just students of Proverbs. We're sons and daughters of the King. And Proverbs is a tutor. Our Father still speaking, calling us to listen, learn, and live like his Son did. Glory to God. All right, continuing on, sake of time here. Proverbs 1, verses 10 through 19. This is a warning against having evil companions. You know, you are who you hang around with. Amen? Proverbs 1, verse 10. Go over there. My son, if sinners entice you, don't consent to them. In other words, don't hang around with them. It's not a maybe. It's an urgent call to resist evil influence. Because wisdom starts where compromise ends. Jesus echoed this when he taught in Matthew 7:13, enter in at the straight gate. He knew the crowd often walks the wrong way. And he called his followers to walk the narrow path, even when you're the only one on the path. Solomon warns about people who say, hey, come with us. That's the language of peer pressure, right? And that voice still whispers today in our friendships, on social media, in business dealings, and yes, even in some ministries and churches. But wisdom knows that every come with us must be weighed against Jesus' command, follow me. Notice Jesus, get this, Jesus never begged people to join him. He invited them. He let them choose. And that's the same choice Proverbs offers. Follow wisdom or follow the crowd, but you can't do both. Amen. Go to verse 11. Sinners lure with promises of power and great gain. Let's lay wait for blood. It's violent, but it's also symbolic. This is about using others, stepping over people, seizing opportunity at someone else's expense. And Jesus spoke directly to this mindset when he said in Matthew 23:11, he that's greatest among you, let him be your servant. I mean, he flipped the whole system upside down. In his kingdom, sacrifice is strength, not weakness. The sinners in Proverbs promise we'll all have one purse, verse 14. That sounds like unity, but it's counterfeit. It's unity built on greed, not grace. Jesus warned in Matthew 16, verse 26, What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Oh, did you get that? Amen. There is the spirit in this passage that mirrors the temptation Jesus faced in the wilderness. Because Satan offered all the kingdoms of the world if he'd only bow and recognize he's the one who owns them. Jesus answered with wisdom from Scripture and chose obedience over power. Go read it, Matthew 4, verses 8 through 10. And Proverbs 1:15 pleads again, don't walk in the way with them. This is more advice than it is a command to separate yourself from those who refuse to follow Jesus. Because Jesus taught this principle and he said, you can't serve God and mammon, Matthew 6:24. We cannot walk with the world and walk in wisdom at the same time. Because the road of righteousness does not run parallel to the path of compromise. Eventually, you have to choose which path you will take. And verse 16 here in Proverbs warns us, their feet run to evil. It's not passive rebellion either. It's intentional pursuit. They're running towards evil instead of running towards Jesus. And again, Jesus describes the same thing in his word, John 3:19. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Folks, when your feet are always rushing towards gain, gratification, revenge, you're no longer being enticed. You've become the enticer. And that's not good. Proverbs pulls no punches here. And this is what happens when you ignore wisdom and reject the fear and admonition of the Lord. Verse 17, this paints a picture. Read it. Surely in vain the net spread in the sight of the bird. In other words, even birds know to avoid an obvious trap. But people, when blinded by greed, they run headfirst right into the destruction. Luke 6, verse 39, Jesus asked, can the blind lead the blind, or won't they both fall in the ditch? Proverbs and Jesus agree, spiritual blindness is the result of willful disobedience. Let me say that again. Spiritual blindness is the end result of willful disobedience. Just let that sink in for a second. Amen. Verse 18 here shifts to the consequences of that willful disobedience. They lay wait for their own blood. And in trying to trap others, they ensnare themselves. Jesus said, with what measure you measure, that's what's going to be measured to you again. Matthew 7:2. In other words, again, you reap what you sow. Amen. This isn't karma. It's called kingdom truth. The world says hustle, climb, conquer. Jesus said, he that humbles himself shall be the one that's exalted. Luke 14:11. And verse 19 here closely follows this with a sobering summary. So are the ways of everyone that's greedy of gain. So this isn't just about criminals. It's about anyone who values money and profit more than people, who values position more than purity, who values influence more than intimacy with God. It's sad, but it's also 100% true, right? Amen. And Jesus warned often about this trap, Luke 12:15, where he said, take heed and beware of covetousness, desiring what doesn't belong to you. Why? Because covetousness isn't about things. It's about the heart, and a greedy heart can never walk in wisdom. So let's not miss the pattern here. Proverbs is showing us the power of voice and influence. Who you listen to will determine where you walk. Amen. And where you walk determines who you will become. Again, in John chapter 8, verse 43, we're going to the red letters. Jesus said, why don't you understand my speech? Why don't you understand what I'm saying here? He says, because you can't hear my words. Wisdom's available, but it's only available to those who tune their ears to the right frequency, I guess you could say. If God broadcast over the radio the secret code word that would pay off every person's debts instantly, but is only valid for the next 5 minutes, many people would miss out because they're tuned to the wrong radio station. Amen. They would miss the broadcast because instead of listening to God radio, they're listening to whatever is on the radio these days. I don't know because I don't listen to the radio. Amen. I don't. I really don't. It used to drive my kids nuts when we were on our cross-country trips because, you know, we were moving from station to station back when I was in the Army. And I like driving in total silence, just letting my mind ponder things. I still do that to this day. But, you know, they'd ask, Dad, can you turn the radio on? No. Read your book. Listen to your tape recorder, you know, with their headphones on. And they, believe it or not, they still talk about that to this day, to their kids, my grandkids. You know, if we go out as a family to eat, and we're going to try and consolidate cars, and they'll try to send the grandkids to ride with Pawpaw. My two daughters, their husbands, they'll ride together and say, so like, because Papa, he doesn't listen to the radio. They don't. Anyway, praise God. It's the truth. Anyway, enough reminiscing here. Praise God. But that's why I'm not influenced by the trash on the radio. All right? Glory to God. Amen. All right, Lord, where was I here? That rabbit trail. Okay. Oh, yeah. Proverbs exposes the anatomy of temptation, invitation, deception, participation, and ends up with destruction. Jesus reversed the order. He invited us with truth, revealed the deception of sin, called us to separation, and what? Gave us eternal life. Praise God. When we walk with Jesus, we don't need to fear being enticed by other things. His voice is louder. His words are clear. His presence is stronger than any kind of peer pressure we will ever face if you allow it to be so. Amen. So the question is, who are you walking with? Who's whispering in your ears? Which voice are you obeying? Because Jesus still calls today, follow me. Wisdom begins simply by saying yes to Jesus' call. Amen. Praise God. Let's continue on now in Proverbs 1, verses 20 to 23, because wisdom's crying out. And Jesus wants to know, will you listen? Okay? Look at verse 20. We see wisdom is no longer a quiet idea. It has become a loud voice. It says, wisdom cries out. She utters her voice in the streets. This isn't subtle. It's public. It's a call from God out in the open, not hidden in a temple or whispered in secret. Jesus did the same thing. He preached on the hillside so that his voice could be heard. He preached in marketplaces where everybody could hear. He even went into the synagogues and the churches and stuff to preach to them who didn't want to hear. His wisdom didn't hide behind stained glass. It went straight to where the people were at. Praise God. Verse 21 says, wisdom lifts her voice in the chief places of the concourse, where paths intersect, where people are at, where decisions are made. That's where Jesus also met the people, at the crossroads of belief and unbelief, hope and despair. He stood where life demanded a decision to be made. An example, remember the woman caught in adultery? That was a public moment, a street moment, a chief concourse type of moment. What did Jesus do? He silenced the accusers with wisdom and offered mercy with truth. He said in John chapter 8, verse 11, now go and sin no more. And the chief priest thought this was a no-win situation for Jesus, but he turned the tables on him pretty quick, didn't he? Okay, let me explain this a little bit before we run out of time. In that situation, yes, the law demanded she be stoned, but not just her. It's supposed to be the man too. They only brought her. So that's a technicality that in today's court system, we would say that's a mistrial. So when the priests who were supposed to judge them brought her to Jesus to judge, he simply ruled according to the law. The law says both were supposed to be stoned. They said, yeah, but what the law says, since you only brought her to me, I say, hey, you priests, every person who sinned in any way deserves death. So my ruling is, if you never sinned, never messed up, then you can be the one that comes and throws the first stone. They knew that'd be a blasphemous statement if any of them picked up a stone. The older priests knew it. They knew they'd been had. They tossed their stones down, walked away. And after all of them were gone, Jesus turned to the woman and said, woman, who's your accusers here? She looked around. There was nobody there. I said, none, Lord. He said, since there's nobody here to accuse you and they brought you to me to judge, I declare a mistrial. Now go and don't do this anymore. Amen. Praise God. I mean, that's Proverbs 1:22. Ask the sower, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Because this isn't about being, let's just say, unintelligent. It's about refusing to grow. It's about loving spiritual immaturity because it feels safe and easy. Well, Jesus confronted this mindset as well. He said, you will come to me that you might have life. You won't do it. The issue wasn't confusion, it was stubbornness. People prefer their religion over repentance and traditions over truth. And we still see that today. The verse continues, the scorners delight in their scorning. Fools hate knowledge. Oh, I could preach on that from some churches today. But okay, I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail. Amen. These are not passive mistakes. They are active rejections of the red letter words of Jesus. You see, Jesus faced his scorners too. Pharisees who mocked him, questioned him, and ultimately plotted his death. How godlike was that? Yet, Jesus still spoke, still healed, still called, still went into the synagogues and preached. Just like wisdom does in this passage. Why? Because God never gives up on offering truth, even when the people don't want to hear it. Amen? And there's a shift now as we look at Proverbs 1, verse 23. Turn ye at my reproof. That's mercy in motion right there. It is a call to repentance. A holy pivot from pride to obedience. And Jesus, he echoed this in his very first message. Matthew 4, verse 17. What did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. The promise, folks, the promise attached is incredible. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make my words known unto you. Wisdom isn't just correction. It's an empowerment. It's not just saying, don't go there. It's saying, hey, come this way. It's a better way. Amen. And that's exactly what Jesus promised in John 14, 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever what I have said unto you. When we turn towards wisdom, God turns towards us with power. Amen. Glory to God. This is actually the heart of the Red Letter Crusade. Amen. We're not shouting about Jesus in crowded marketplaces. We're helping people hear what he actually said. In his own words, with his own emphasis, without denominational spin being applied at all. Amen. Glory to God. So many people today claim to follow Christ, but they ignore his red letter teachings. They read what others said about Jesus, like the Pauline letters, but hardly ever spend any time in the four Gospels listening to the actual words of Jesus. I just find that unbelievable. It's like walking past wisdom, crying out in the streets, pretending not to hear. Luke 6, verse 48, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do the things I say? When wisdom cries out, it's like a moment of grace being given to you. The cry itself is an act of mercy. It means God's still speaking, still warning, still willing to redirect our paths. Jesus asked often, he that has ears to hear, what? Let him hear. Again, that's not a throwaway line. It's a warning. Don't let your ears get so full of noise that you miss the one voice that matters above it all. Verse 23 is a turning point. Turn ye at my reproof. That's the fork in the road. One path leads to wisdom, revelation, the outpouring of God's Spirit. The other path, as we'll soon see, leads to ruin. But here's the beauty of it all. Wisdom wants to be found. Jesus says, seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be open to you. Matthew 7, 7. God isn't playing hide and seek. He's speaking boldly, waiting for a response from you. Amen. Praise God. This passage isn't poetic fluff. It's prophetic urgency. God's calling out to our generation just like he did in Solomon's day. Just like he did when Jesus walked among us. The only question that remains is whether we will turn our hearts to listen. Tune it in. Tune into God's frequency using the radio station again that I mentioned before. Folks, the WDJS Book Project, what did Jesus say Book Project? It's about rediscovering that very voice. It's about tuning back into what Jesus actually said with no filters, no debate, no distortion. When we hear him clearly, we begin to live wisely. So don't wait for a perfect moment to follow Jesus' teachings. This moment is perfect because wisdom right here is crying out right now. Jesus is still whispering, come, follow me. All right, let's keep moving on. Praise the Lord. How much time we got left? Ooh, getting close. As we move on, Proverbs verse 1, verses 24 to 33. We'll finish it up here. I want you to see the consequences of ignoring this offer of wisdom. Because this section begins with a divine heartbreak. Because I have called and you refused. Because I've stretched out my hand, but no one regarded it. That's verse 24. God is not indifferent. He's grieved. He's speaking. He's reaching. He's offering. But people are ignoring him. Think about it. Jesus felt the same ache. He wept over Jerusalem, saying, how often I would have gathered your children together, but you wouldn't let me do it. Matthew 23:37. The rejection of wisdom isn't just a mistake. It's an actual wound to the heart of God. Verse 25 continues the pattern. But you set up at naught all my counsel. You would not have any of my reproof. What's he saying here? Wisdom was not unclear. It just wasn't wanted. People didn't misunderstand. They just didn't want to be told they were wrong. Oh boy. Does that sound like society today, inside and outside churches? John chapter 8, verse 46. Jesus said, which of you convicts me of sin? If I'm speaking the truth, why don't you believe me? The truth was not the problem. The rejection was the problem. The pride was the problem. Then comes his shocking response here in verse 28. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. That's not cruel. It's just the consequences. When people silence wisdom, they have no defense when trouble arrives. We see people today where they will ask something like, why did God allow this to happen? Well, the number one reason is we live in a fallen world. That's the main reason. Bad things will happen to good people. It will not change until we actually get to heaven. Now, I know there's not much solace in that. But actually, that's the way it is. Now, the flip side of that coin is the sin we tolerate, and even worse, participate in, that opens the door for these things to happen too. Amen? Jesus warned of the same outcome. He said in Matthew 7:26, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened to what? A foolish man. When the storm hits, the house built without wisdom falls. And Jesus said, great is that fall. Proverbs says, fear will come like desolation and destruction like a whirlwind. That's in verse 27. This is not poetic exaggeration. It is a prophetic warning. Ignoring God does not lead to neutrality. It leads to collapse. It is going to happen one way or another. And Jesus warned us of this in Luke 6:49. He that hears and does not is like a man without a foundation. When the flood rose, the ruin is immediate and it is complete. The lack of obedience becomes your actual undoing. Verse 28 in Proverbs 1. This is painful to read. Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. It's not that God can't hear. It's that the time for listening has passed. Folks, rebellion has a window. When that window closes, judgment is the only thing left outside. We don't have time to go there, but if you want to take the time to read Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, Jesus illustrated this with the parable of the 10 virgins. When the door was shut, it didn't matter how loud they knocked. The bridegroom said, "I don't know you." Because folks, delay can cost you everything. Verse 29 gives the diagnosis. It says, "For they that hated knowledge did not choose the fear of the Lord." This was willful rebellion. The fear of the Lord was offered, but they chose self-rule over self-surrender. Again, Jesus said in John 3:19, he makes it crystal clear, "Light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light." See, the issue isn't access. It's a desire. Some people prefer ignorance because it excuses their disobedience. They think so anyway. Proverbs 1 verse 30 says, "They would not have any of my counsel because they despised my reproof." That's not passive unbelief. It's active rejection. Every time someone refuses to obey the red letter words of Jesus, they're replaying this same pattern we're reading here in Proverbs. Jesus said, "He that rejects me and does not receive my words has what? One that judges him already." John 12, 48. What is it that judges them? "The word I have spoken." That's what will judge him in the last day. Folks, that's powerful. That's why we need to read the red letter words of Jesus. Because he says right there, his words, the red letter words, will be what judges people, you, at the end. I pray you get that. Above all else we said today, I pray you get that. Because verse 31 here in Proverbs reveals the bitter harvest. They shall eat of the fruit of their own way. That's justice. That's just the way it is. God doesn't have to invent a punishment. He just lets people reap what they've sown. Rebellion feeds on its own consequence. You know, I was asked once, why does God send people to hell? He's not sending anybody to hell. He gave them their choice. They chose it. He gave them a choice, heaven or hell. You want to go heaven? Just follow me. They reject that, so therefore the default choice is hell. So God's not sending anyone to hell. They chose it over the offer of living with him in heaven forever. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, "By their fruits you shall know them." You can't plant disobedience and harvest peace. You can't ignore his voice and expect his blessings. It does not work that way. Proverbs 1, verse 32 summarizes the fate of the fool. "The turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools will destroy them." In other words, success without wisdom is a trap. Comfort without conviction will kill you. Luke 12, verse 16 to 20, Jesus talks about this. The rich man who said, "Soul, take your ease," God called him a fool. Because that very night his soul was required, and all his prosperity led to destruction because he ignored wisdom. But verse 33 closes with hope. "Whoever listens to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet or kept from fear of evil." This is God's offer to the listener, to the obedient, to the one who humbles themselves before wisdom. John 14, verse 23, Jesus says it plainly for everyone to hear or read. "If a man loves me, he'll keep my words. My Father will love him. And we, the Father and Jesus, will come unto him and make our abode with him." Obedience leads to presence, and presence leads to peace. And the closing verse is the heartbeat of the Red Letter Crusade. Amen. That's what it means. We're calling people back to safety. Amen. Not through traditions or arguments, but by helping them hearing and obeying the red letter words of Jesus, because it is a world full of fear and noise right now, and his words are still bringing peace. Now, the WDJS book project is not a new idea. It's just an ancient call that's being renewed. It's the cry of wisdom in our generation, and Jesus is still speaking to us today. The question is, will you listen? Are you listening? Amen. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I want to pray with you right now. I want you to know what it's like to receive Jesus as your Savior, to be your guide the rest of your days. Just pray this prayer with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this offer of salvation through Christ Jesus to become my Lord and Savior. He already became my sacrifice. He already rose from the dead, proving that I, dead in my sin right now, can be resurrected to life with you and with him. Lord Jesus, I ask you, forgive me of my sins. You said your words will judge us. I want your word in my heart and in my life. You are the word made flesh. I accept you as my Savior. Come into my heart and renew my life that I might serve you and the Father forever and be with you forever. And Father, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Folks, hallelujah. We're all out of time for today. I want you to go to the website, WDJSBookProject.com. WDJSBookProject.com. You can get your copy, a free e-copy of this book right here. Amen. And all the information right there. Until next time, it's Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed. All.
You have just heard a message of encouragement from anointed pastor and teacher Robert Thibodeau with Freedom Through Faith Ministries in Baltimore, Maryland. For more information on the Freedom Through Faith Ministries or to invite Pastor Thibodeau to your church, please visit our website, www.ftfm.org. That's FTFM for Freedom Through Faith Ministries. Again, that's FTFM.org. Until next time, when we gather together around the Word of God, be blessed. And remember, we serve an awesome God.